Ronald, whenever you're ready.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming today. It's an honor to be with you. My name is Ron Holt, and I'm a graduate of the MA program here at Human Sexuality Studies at San Francisco State. And my original research, which I finished last year, was called The Impact of Rural Geography on Sexual Identity. And so historically, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans people are at higher risk for mental health disparities. In fact, there was a study that was done by Irwin and colleagues in 2014 in the state of Nebraska where they talked to queer people about their thoughts of suicide. And lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, up to 50% of them in that state said that they had thoughts of suicide at some time during their life, serious thoughts. Whereas trans people, 66% of them had serious thoughts of suicide at some time during their life. Those are staggering numbers, especially when you consider in the general population, only about 4% of people in the U.S. in the previous 12 months have had serious thoughts of suicide. So coming out can sometimes help mitigate those mental health outcomes for people who are queer, but not always. Coming from a rural geography can sometimes make those mental health worries worse. And so, there was a study done by Fisher and colleagues in 2014 in the state of Nebraska, and they talked to rural gay queer people and urban queer people, and they asked them a question, and they found that compared to urban people, rural queer people were more likely to smoke more excessively, binge drink, and as well as have less access to health insurance. And Giano and colleagues in 2020 also found that gay men who were out in rural areas were at higher risk for mental health issues due to stigma. So we know that the coming out process in general can be a positive thing for most people, but sometimes rural geography can actually make those mental health adversities worse. And so what I wanted to do, And so what I wanted to do then, therefore, is to make the focus of my project on, let's investigate how the intersection of geography, religion, and support impact the coming out process of for people in the Midwestern part of the United States. And so my research questions were the following. What were the experiences of Midwestern rural queer youth around coming out? What type of information did they receive and from where? And how and where did they get support? So for my methods, I use an online anonymous Qualtrics survey that had both qualitative and quantitative questions in it. I had my IRB approval done in the summer of 21, which allowed me to collect data in September and October of 2021. Data analysis was descriptive statistics using things like means and percentages on things like their coming out experience, the demographics of the group, where they received their information, as well as the impact of religion and support. So there were a total of three emails that were sent out to the GSA, the Gay Straight Alliance Pride presidents on each of the college campuses, and then they sent those out to their Pride members. And the survey, in order to take my survey, was embedded in as a link in the email to them. And so they were able to take it in the privacy of their own home. I chose this method because, one, it was during the pandemic, and we weren't able to do face-to-face interviews. But the second thing is that I wanted people to feel comfortable to take this in the privacy of their own home because it was such a sensitive topic for them. And the third thing, I think confidentiality is of utmost importance, especially for those who are closeted and struggling in the rural Midwest. So I thought this survey type would be the best way for them to share their information without feeling that they had to out themselves to me, the surveyor. So I had three qualitative questions, okay? The first one was, if you're out, please describe the coming out process. The second one was, has a lack of support negatively impacted your queer identity? And if so, how? And the third one was, has religion impacted your queer identity? And if so, how? Okay. So then answers were done in an essay form by the participants. And so then I was able to take them and put them into themes. And so the themes I'm going to go over with you in just a couple of minutes. So just to give you a demographic recap, there were 45 people who actually took this. The majority of them were from the state of Nebraska, identify as pansexual or bisexual, and were identified as female. In addition, the majority of them were from towns of under 25,000, They also identified as white teenagers, usually between the ages of 18 to 20, and they were college freshmen. So the coming out experiment, I thought this was pretty interesting. 50%, let me see, is this working? Okay, so 50% came out, said they had a mixed response, and so what does that mean? It means that maybe, say, they came out to their parents and it was a positive response. Maybe they came out to their siblings, it was a negative response, so that would be qualified then as a mixed reaction. And so 50% had a mixed reaction. What was interesting is that 40% had a positive response all around, and about 12% had a negative response all around. So the question here is, has a lack of support negatively impacted your queer identity? And I just want to kind of get a show of hands here in the audience about what you think the answer was from them. So roughly what percentage do you think marked yes, a lack of support negatively impacted them? Do you think it was 33% or 50? If it's 33, please raise your hand. Anyone who wants to participate. And how many think 50%? Okay, 50%. Very good. All right. So the answer was yes. They said a lack of support has negatively impacted my queer identity 50% of the time, okay? And check out this number. 76% of them were from towns of under 50,000, okay? So what were the themes on the lack of support? Well, they asked for support because they didn't have it. They had internalized feelings of homophobia and transphobia because they didn't have that support. They had different levels of being closeted, so some were out to others, whereas others, they were more closeted, and they had experienced feelings of homophobia and transphobia. And so the other question that I'd like to get feedback from the audience is, has religion impacted their queer identity? And I'm curious, what percentage do you think said yes? If you think it was 33%, please raise your hand. And those who thought it was 50%, please, you guys are catching on. Okay, very good, okay. So the answer was, they said, yes, religion has an impact on my queer identity 50% of the time. And check this out, all of the responses were negative. Not one person said religion impacted them in a positive way, and 90% were from towns of under 50,000. So we're seeing a theme now, aren't we, about geography. So what were the overlapping themes on the negative cause of religion? Well, people had a delayed acceptance in who they were. They had internalized feelings of self-hate called like internalized homophobia. And they felt like if they were bad, that they were bad, or if they were queer, that they were somehow bad or sinful. So where did they get their information? You can see that 40% of them got them from the internet, and then roughly 25% of them then got them from their friends, and then got them from their school Gay Straight Alliance, okay? So how does that compare then with where they got their support? So you see they got their support from friends and the support group. So it's a little bit different than how it was where they got their information. So what are some take-home findings for support? So we found that persons who depended on and received support from their GSA on their college campus were more likely to get that regardless of their geography. The other thing is that kids who had parental support from their parents were more likely to be out at work regardless of their geography. We saw that a lack of support from churches had a negative impact on the coming out process of young people. And we know that the higher the size of the town, the greater they felt more likely to come out. So therefore, those from smaller towns needed more support. Okay, so how is it that we can apply these? So we know that the expansion of GSAs into junior and senior high schools would be very helpful. We know that providing resources can increase parental support. Advocating for churches to be more of an advocate for their queer youth can help their queer youth feel better about coming out. And including sexuality in school curriculums can help those who are from rural areas that don't have access to the support that they need. So in conclusion, I think applying these findings and advocating for love, right, and support for people from churches, from GSAs, from their schools, and from their parents can help save the lives of queer youth. And I really feel like by sharing this information with you today that you guys can help us save queer youth. Thank you very much for your time today. It was an honor to be in front of you, and I look forward to the question and answer session. Thank you very much.
brief presentation. Now we can open it for the Q&A session. Judges,
I have a question on, could you explain how you made the decision to define rurality and how that might impact the communities that you're talking about?
Define morality?
Yeah, so how did you decide what's rural, what's not?
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Okay. So what I did is I did the study and asked people to take the survey, and then I broke it down based on the geography, and I found that the 50,000 population break line was roughly 75% of them were in smaller towns, and then about 25% were in higher towns, but I found that most of the data broke down at that line. And so that's why I chose 50,000 and less or 50,000 and above. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think I'm still left with questions of whether 50,000 people is really rural.
I agree. Agreed with you. This was based on data. I only had 45 people that were able to take it. And so I agree. There were a lot of people, like say they were towns of like 10,000 and 5,000, but the N was so small that I wouldn't have been able to make any kind of statistical analysis.
Okay.
Yeah. But I totally agree with you. I think if I had more numbers, I definitely would have gone down to a smaller area. Thank you for that. Hi.
Hi, I have a question. Thank you for a really excellent presentation, for sharing your research. It's really incredible.
Thank you.
I have a question about your decisions to focus specifically on religion and religious institutions. In the beginning, you said that you're looking at the intersections between geography, religion, and other forms of support. I'm wondering why you chose that. As opposed to other institutions.
Thank you for that. So I've been speaking back in the Midwest for the past 20 years, and every time I go back and I talk to queer youth, they always talk about how the impact of religion on them and how the churches has really made them feel bad about themselves. And I thought, if I'm hearing this enough over the decades, I want to do some research that's actually going to impact those people who are really struggling with that. And so the common theme when I go back and speak is about the lack of access to their small towns and because of what their pastor says to them. And so that's why I wanted to focus on religion, because I think that's an area that's not focused on in the Midwest, especially around queer theory. And so I wanted to bring some new research out into the universe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm curious about coping strategies. And I wonder, during the qualitative part of your survey, if you picked up anything about coping strategies that these youth had.
Thank you for that. So yes, I did. So their coping strategies for them, they found that their college GSA was very important to them. In fact, we saw that 25% of them received support from their GSAs. And so they found, and a lot of them developed then friendships from that GSA on campus. And so they found belonging to the GSA, where they would do like weekly activities together. They bring in speakers like me. They would end up, you know, having support groups with one another. They found that to be very helpful. So that was a great coping mechanism for them. Also, it helped them in the coming out process, as they had like a close network of friends on their college GSA campus that made them feel more comfortable to take more steps to come out to more people, both in their community and eventually to their parents. So the coping skills had a lot to do with the GSAs.
Mm-hmm. From your knowledge of the literature, how would you compare the level of comfort with coming out and with earlier kinds of research?
Well, that's a great question. And so I can answer that. When I was a queer youth back in the 80s, I had a tremendous time struggling with coming out. There was not a lot of literature or research that was out there during the times. And now I was in Nebraska back in the 80s, and I was struggling with my sexuality. So I can tell you from what I've seen over the decades is that there's a tremendous amount of more support that's available for these kids, but not for all of them, right? There's still a lot of them, like you were talking about. Some of them come from towns of 1,000 people. I mean, I had N's of like 100. And it's like, how, I can't quantify though, because the N's were so low, but there's kids that are really struggling with that. And so that's why the friends and the GSA support groups become very important, because then they have the support to feel more comfortable coming out. There was much less literature in the past about the coming out process, and when it was very negative. And actually, the numbers that I presented today, I thought were kind of interesting, because you could see how only 12% had a negative reaction all the way around. That's pretty staggering, right?
Yeah, it is staggering.
Yeah. I was really surprised, because when I was younger, it was a lot higher than that. And so, and even for positive, 40% had a positive response. That was pretty incredible too. So those were some findings that I thought were actually kind of surprising for me, which gave me hope.
Just more a comment than a question. So I'm most familiar in the South, where generally what would happen would be, queer youth who were in rural areas in Georgia, as soon as they could, headed to Atlanta. You know, in Alabama, they headed to Birmingham. In Louisiana, they headed to New Orleans. You know, and that was just the coping strategy.
Yes.
Kids knew that the second they could, that's what they were going to do.
Yes.
I'm wondering if that's changed over time, as their experience has not nearly been as bad as earlier, with earlier generations.
I would agree with you, because, I was from Nebraska, and now I'm in San Francisco, right?
Exactly,
so
yes.
A lot of us that are still doing that. In fact, one
I'm
of the questions-
in San Francisco, yes.
Yeah, see, yes. There you go. One of the questions that I asked is, what keeps you in your small town right now? And 98% of it was because they were going to school there. Then it dropped down drastically. Okay. I think then it got down to maybe 15 to 20%. Where it was like, my family's here, I was born and raised here, but the numbers dropped dramatically. And so I still think that a lot of people still migrate out of rural areas into places that are more safe for them. But I also have been, when I talked to some of them, they were planning to stay there. And so I do think, because of the internet, I think because they have more support that they didn't have before, that's on a more of a global level where they can just get online. That gives them the support and that they didn't have before. And I think that makes them more likely for them to stay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I think this is really interesting. And if you were to be continuing this research, one thing I might encourage you to do is consider how the rural experience differs across different regions of the country. So
absolutely.
Is it the same in the Midwest as it is in the South, as in the rural Northeast or the West? That's one area I think would be very curious.
I love that idea, and you're right. And the reason why I chose the Central Midwest is, one, is because I was there, but two, there's no information, there's no literature in there that specifically targets the Central Midwestern queer youth. And that's why I did this original survey, because I think this is stuff that actually should be publishable to help people who are really struggling in the Midwest.
Do we have any additional questions or comments?
Is there someone in the back there?
In the survey regarding the familial support, did you notice any of them talking about an only child versus siblings, if that had any impact on their support within their family?
That's a good question. So it was interesting. I'm just trying to think back at the data. I didn't ask essentially how many siblings they had, but there were some people, when I asked what was your coming out experience like, a lot of them would talk about, in paragraph form, they would talk about, I came out to my siblings first, and they were very accepting of me. And so for those that had siblings, it was kind of safer, because then they were able to talk about it with them. And then after they got support from their siblings, then they were able to come out to their parents or their aunts or their uncles, et cetera. So I think that the more familial support that there was around them, that wasn't exactly mom and dad who might be conservative and be born, raised in a Mormon family, it was a better outcome for them. They felt more comfortable in the coming out process. The ones that didn't seem to have that had struggled more and were not able to come out in junior and senior high school, and they were more likely to come out in college at the GSA. Great questions.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Ronald.
Okay, thank you so much, you guys. Thank you.